Hello, Signet Travel. It's Mr. Kelly's office. Yes, he's off again. Geneva, on Tuesday. He wants a car at Geneva, and he'll leave it at Zurich. Make sure it's a Hertz car, please, or I'll never hear
the
end of it.
Well, he don't hang around. Just as soon as he's down, he takes off.
Number one man.
He got people to meet, got a deadline to beat, and it's rough.
Number one man.
He goes Hertz. He's a number one man. He goes Hertz. He's a number one man.
My name is Kelly.
Good afternoon, Mr. Kelly. I have a Ford for you, a Taunus. You are going to return it to Zurich on Thursday, yes? Fine. Charge card and license? Sign here.
He goes Hertz. He's a number one man. He goes Hertz. He's a number one man.
Thank you.
Amazing. I'd always thought when I'd read the prophecies and heard the readings in the synagogue that it was going to, that he was going to be born of some rich princess or something. And I never dreamed he was going to be my son. I mean, you'd never dream that sort of thing, would you? It's just amazing.
Now, Joseph Carpenter, you are the husband of Mary, and you are the stepfather or adopted father of this baby. How did you feel when you found out that your fiancé was pregnant and by somebody else?
Well, I mean, how would one feel, but absolutely shocked.
What happened?
Well, Mary said to me, I'm pregnant. And then she came out with a story. Of course, I didn't believe it. I mean, who would? There were Roman soldiers in the town. I didn't know what was going on.
Yes, but Mary was your fiancée. And what, was she the sort of girl that would have run around with Roman soldiers?
Oh, no, definitely not. But I just was absolutely flabbergasted.
Well, how do you feel now that the baby's actually been born?
Well, now that I know the truth, because I've had a vision from God, I'm quite at peace about it.
You say you had a vision from God. I mean, that sounds almost as far-fetched as Mary's story.
Oh, no. I saw the angel of God, the messenger of God, and he told me that what Mary had said was true, and that in fulfillment of what the prophets had said, Mary was going to bear a son by the Holy Spirit.
So you're quite happy about the whole situation?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Now, Ruth, you were the innkeeper's wife, and it was you that, in fact, gave the stable to this couple, weren't you? Events have shown that the baby was, in fact, something rather special, and some people have been saying that he is, in fact, the Messiah. How do you feel about that?
Well, if I'd known that it was the Messiah, what I would have done, I'd have shifted a couple of people out. Because, I mean, it's not very nice people saying, oh, you've got the Messiah, and all you did was chuck him in the stable while you had your own part of the inn. So I would have either moved out or moved somebody else out. Probably moved somebody else out.
David, you're one of the shepherds that were out on the hills and saw this great sight of angels, which announced that a Messiah had been born in Bethlehem. What happened that night?
Well, we just built up the fire and settled down for the night, and we saw this great light, and we thought that the grass had caught a light. But when we turned around, we saw this angel, big, bright in the sky. It was beautiful, marvellous, never seen nothing like it before.
How do you know it was an angel?
Well, we just had this feeling inside that it was from God. It couldn't be anything else. I mean, such brilliance and the radiance from it, it couldn't have been anything else.
Then what happened?
Then, naturally, we were frightened, so we turned around to run. And the angel said, told us not to be afraid. He told us that there was a Messiah being born in a stable in Bethlehem, and we were to go along to see, you know, we had to be there.
You are only shepherds. Why should the angels come and give such an important message to shepherds? Why not to Herod and the leaders, the political leaders?
Well, I don't know, just shepherds, why us? You know, that's what we thought, but we can't really explain.
Taking part were members of the CYFA Youth Club of Clapton Park, East London.
Well, a hot diggity dog and sippity doo-dah. Listen to that. I'll be a doggone coyote. This is fine stuff. This is fine country music.
It's Merry We Will Be.
Go light the lantern, and hanging on the gate is a sign that our men are welcome in this house tonight to spend Christmas tide among friendly company. Then build the fire to a yuletide blaze and keep the grates be turning. Send the fiddlers sing, give us fair your maids, and merry we will be. With garlands red and garlands green, and the tree of stars and tinsel, where an angel blessed by Father James looks down upon our feast. Here comes the man of God himself, give me mine and bid him welcome. When his cheeks are red, he'll forget his bed, and merry we will be. mistletoe and ivy. If I catch you there, I will take my share of kisses given free. There's gifts for all, both tall and small, there's trinkets, toys and baubles. So fill your dish with all you wish, and marry me will be. Dreaming stars and tinsel, for it's open house and open hearts this time of year to all. So if you're passing by and hear the sounds of joy and laughter, won't you step inside this Christmas tide and merry we will be. There's a sign, all men are welcome, in this house tonight that is shining bright with fire, light and love. With garlands red and garlands green and the tree with stars and tinsel, good friends come one, come all this night and merry we will be.
Hello, boys and girls. First of all, may I wish you all a very happy Christmas. Though, of course, it's not going to be nearly so happy now the Tories are in power. You know, if I were in charge of the purse strings, things would be very different. You see, I had planned to introduce a tax on parents. All parents, you see, would have had to pay their children a minimum weekly sum. This was designed to give all boys and girls a good time over the festive season, and, of course, to ensure they vote Labour when the time comes. Well, now you know what a mistake your parents made. Try and persuade them to change your minds, won't you? I'm not going to be so pompous as to wish you a prosperous new year. I'm not going to have one, and I don't see why anyone else should either.
Hello, this is Paul Coyer of Radio Clyde in Glasgow, and I'd just like to take this opportunity of wishing to all the Jellybone listeners a very, very happy Christmas and a happy 1980.
Radio Clyde, 261, all together,
girl. Hello, this is Inspector Clouseau of the Sûreté. As an officer of the law, I trust you will not mind me interfering with Terry's birch to wish you a Merry Christmas. I know that.
Hello, this is Bobby Malcolm here at Radio 4th, Edinburgh, in Scotland, wishing all Jellybone listeners a very Merry Christmas.
My darlings, I just can't say how incredibly, unbelievably glad I was to be asked to do this darling little broadcast for the lovely Therese. She's such a sweetie, don't you know, my little kiddly-wonkles? And she's so pretty, too. You'd love her. And what beautiful hair she's got. It's so unusual. All blonde and streaky. Looks just like my old feather duster after the cat knocked the bottle of bleach all over it. Anyway, I must hurry along, but I do hope you lovely little ones are having a marvellous Chrissy. I'm sure that nice Santa Claus brought you all you want, but I do think it's time you asked Mummy to lay off the sherry. Anyway, must rush, my little ones. Bye-bye.
Girls of today most surely are quite the prettiest by far. Though memory fades, I think in truth, they weren't so luscious in my youth. If they were, then I forgot. But they, I'm almost sure, were not. For the prettiest of all, I've had a search. And I tell you now, folks, it's Therese Birch. There's one chap, though, that gives me the needle. It's that silly big twit, Jeremy Beadle. Do you mind not ringing up when I'm on the Therese Birch Jellybone Christmas pre... Oh. Jeremy! How are you, Jeremy? No, Jeremy, we're only joking. Yes, Jeremy. Awfully sorry, Jeremy. Dear, one can't get away with anything these days, even at Christmas time.
I suppose I ought to start, first of all, by giving you some sort of a clue as to who I am. So here comes my number one clue. I personally just love knock-knock jokes. And here comes my clue number two, which of course is a knock-knock joke. Knock-knock. Who goes there? Adolf. Adolf. Ooh. Adolf ball it me in the mouth, and that's why I talk like this. I don't want to know that. Candy, leave the stage.
Hi, this is Mark Jones from Radio City in Liverpool, and I'd just like to say a very happy Christmas to all the Jellybone listeners.
BRMB Radio.
This is Mike Henfield of BRMB Radio in Birmingham. I'd like to wish Jellybone listeners a very, very happy Christmas.
BRMB, wish you a Merry Christmas!
Oh, King Cole, it's a merry old soul and with good reason. The history of the hangover is rich with contributions from European royalty, and one of the most remarkable is the inside story of Old Cole. The more slipshod chroniclers would have us believe that King Cole was a Briton, but the fact is that Cole was merely an anglicisation or corruption of his real name, which was Skull, or Skull, the name under which he ruled Scandinavia for many years. As for his fiddlers, another deception has been thrust upon us by the historians. Fiddler comes to us as a combination of the ancient word Fido, meaning I bark, and the Flemish word bler, meaning a mixologist of poison who assists the top man at ceremonial drinking contests. Any man who calls for three bartenders all at once, well, you've got to take your hat off.
Hello, Therese, and hello, Jellybone listeners everywhere. Stuart Francis here from Pennine Radio, deep in the heart of West Yorkshire, Tup North, wishing you a very happy Christmas, and stay tuned to the best children's programme in the world.
Pennine Radio, bringing it home to you.
Another journey round the sun, and Christmas comes anew. And so before December's end, for each and every special friend, here we are to sing. Musical
most of us woke up this morning to the sight of stuffed stockings and mountains of gifts under the Christmas tree. The bearer of these gifts, as we all know, of course, came in the quiet and the darkness of the night, and his name is Santa Claus. Mark Easton paid the famous man a visit only a short while ago and managed to obtain an exclusive interview. He told us what it took to arrive at Santa's door.
I had to walk 523 and a half miles, wearing tennis rackets on my feet, brave the cold of the most brutal part of the globe, the Arctic. Sub-zero temperatures, I was so cold my chilblains had chilblains. Eventually, after what seemed like hours, but was in fact days of aimless wandering, I chanced upon the home of perhaps the 18th most powerful man in the world, Santa Claus, known only to his closest friend as Father Christmas or Mr. Ho-Ho-Ho. With my tape recorder frozen solid to my anorak, I tentatively knocked on the door. A security guard bellowed down the intercom. What do you want? How about an interview with the old man, I queried through chattering teeth. He's not in, came the rude retort. After 4 weeks arguing, he finally let me in, and I got what I'd come for. An exclusive chat with Santa himself. My first question was a serious one. For many years now, rumours that the bearded old man is merely a snow-white lie to fool children have abounded in the Western world. How does he cope with what one might describe as the credibility gap?
We try and tell him that there is a Father Christmas, and as I've been Father Christmas for many, many, many years.
How old are you, in fact, sir?
That I couldn't tell you.
You're obviously pretty old.
Pretty old.
Now, in these days of strikes and union trouble, and, of course, microchip technology now, are you considering laying off any of your gnomes?
No, we don't lay off any gnomes at all, because we got to think of the poor children all over the world.
Yes, so it's important, in fact, that you keep up your gnomes. Yes. How many gnomes have you got?
Thousands and thousands, all over.
Is it a production line job?
Yes, it is, yes.
It would have to be. You're producing toys in that kind of quantity.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you fly around in a sleigh. Yeah.
With six reindeers.
Six reindeers. I just wondered, do you in fact possess a pilot's license?
No. A free transport all over the world.
You don't have to have a license?
Don't have to have a license at all, no matter what country I visit.
What about breaking and entering? Because I'd have thought there must be some legal problems as far as going down people's chimneys is concerned.
We have special people for that reason, and they keep eye on us, you see. As regards chimneys, we don't go down chimneys these days.
Don't you? Yeah, must be a problem.
Well, we've always made arrangements beforehand that, unknown to the outsiders, that we enter by special ways to a publication nowadays.
Yes, well, you have to, yes. But of course, these are secret, aren't
they? Yes.
What do you do during the rest of the year? You have this big rush at Christmas time.
All my gnomes are working, making the toys.
What do you do yourself, sir?
Well, that I have a rest, a big rest, but I travel around different places to see that everything's going all right.
Yeah, and I've heard, in fact, that you do take a holiday occasionally in the Bahamas. Is that true?
Yes, it is true, yes. We went there last year, and we're hoping to go to Hong Kong and round that way the next year.
Oh, well, that'll be nice for you, sort of Eastern trip, yes. Do you have trouble with imposters?
Sometimes, but not very often.
So there really is just one
Santa Claus. Just one Santa Claus, that's all. Yes.
Now, you must work very, very hard. Do you ever have a nervous breakdown?
Well, up to present, I've been very lucky. I've only had one breakdown, and that was a matter for about an hour.
Is there, in fact, a Mrs. Claus?
Yes, there is a Mrs. Claus. She's up there. She's looking after the little gnomes.
And she's here with you at the North Pole, is she?
Yes, she's with me now at present.
Yes, she does the cooking and things.
Yes, she does the cooking.
Very domesticated woman.
Yes, very, very hard work she is.
Are you, in fact, a male chauvinist?
No.
So you take your
share.
I think the question that a lot of people would be interested in, and I'd just like to say thank you now for this exclusive interview.
Yes.
What, in fact, do you want for Christmas?
All I want is peace.
Peace?
Peace.
Oh, that's a lovely thought. Father Christmas, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
You'd better believe it, too. That was Mark Easton with his exclusive interview with Santa Claus. Don't say we don't bring you the news here on LBC. It's 14 and a half minutes past 12.